You could turn to Psalm 37 if you'd like. I'd like to share just a little bit this morning on resting in the Lord. And Psalm 37, we'll start in verse 1. Still hear that rustling of the paper there? That's all right, you'll catch up. It says, verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily you're going to get fed." Verse 4, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday." Verse 7 says, "Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him that prospers in his way, because of the man that brings wicked devices to pass." And that phrase, "rest in the Lord," a number of weeks ago, it really caught my attention. So, and I started looking, I thought, how many times does that show up in the Bible? And so I looked, and guess how many times that phrase shows up in the Bible? As many times as that phrase, "it's Christ in you, the hope of glory." One time. As many times as the phrase, "I would ye all speak with tongues." One time. This is the only place where that phrase, "rest in the Lord," shows up in the Bible. If you turn to Psalm 62, I look for that, you know, that Hebrew word, it's translated rest. And it shows up again in Psalm 62. It's translated with a different English word, but it's the same Hebrew word. Which, by the way, was talking with somebody not that long ago. If you open a dictionary, an English dictionary, flip to any page you want to, and count how many words that are on those two pages have only one definition. You might not use up all the fingers on your hand. Most words have more than one definition. So to say, "well, that word means this here, therefore every time that word is used, this is what it means," might be better to read the context than to just say, "well, it means this over here, so that's what it has to mean every other place." Here in Psalm 62, in verse 5, it says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for he is my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." Sounds like some of the things that Father told us in manifestations just a few minutes ago, right? That word in verse 5, "wait," that's the same word that was translated "rest" in Psalm 37:7, where it said, "rest in the Lord." If we used that English word here, it would say, "my soul, rest thou only upon God." You know, we're resting. Some of you are resting on chairs. Some of you are resting on a couch. I was going to say you're resting on the steps, but whatever. Yes. You know, whatever you're resting on, it's supporting your entire weight. You know, if somebody pulled that out from under you, you'd fall down. Well, this verse 5, "my soul, rest thou only upon God." If you turn to Matthew chapter 11, we'll look a little bit at this. It's interesting keeping that, you know, rest in the Lord in its context, because in verse 3 it said trust in the Lord, in verse 4 it said delight yourself in the Lord, in verse 5 it said commit your way unto the Lord, then verse 7 said rest in the Lord. Here in Matthew 11, in verse 28, it says, Jesus is talking, he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden," or heavy burdened, "and I'll give you" what? Stress. No, rest. Not stress, rest. Verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you." That would be almost, you know, if you're going to take your yoke, we use the phrase sometimes, you know, "hey, can you hook me up with that?"
You know, like, oh, the so-and-so has a great job. He's looking for employees. He pays good benefits, blah, blah, blah. Hey, could you hook me up with that? You know, that's sort of like taking your yoke. Taking, you know, hook me up with that. Take my yoke upon you, is what he said in verse 29. If you're going to do that, then you're going to be, in a sense, committing your way unto him. And you wouldn't take somebody's yoke upon you if you didn't trust him, right? So some of the same elements in Psalm 37 are really involved here. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of or from me, or both, of and from. For I am, what? Meek and lowly in heart. Not brash and arrogant in heart. Meek and lowly. You know, easy to talk with, easy to get along with. Last part of verse 29 says, and you shall find what?
Rest
unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So you got some of the same elements here that we had in Psalm 37. You know, trust in the Lord, delight yourself also, and commit your way. Some of the same elements would be involved here. Take my yoke upon you. I'm not going to do that if I don't trust you. I'm not going to commit my way unto you just because you said to. You know, it has to be like a mutually agreeable thing. He didn't say, get over here, I'm putting my yoke on you, right? He said, do it, you do it. Which means we also have the option of not doing it. Look at Jeremiah chapter 6. Similar sort of thing. Isaiah, Jeremiah, chapter 6. Now who's got their shoes off? Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and look, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find what?
Rest
for your souls. But they said, we ain't gonna do it. You know, but to walk therein, that's gonna require some effort, right? You know, look, stand in the ways, paths, look for the old paths, whatever said there. Walk therein, you know, it's going to take some effort to find those old paths. It's going to take some effort to walk therein. You know, sort of like commit your way unto the Lord, rest in the Lord. And he said, look for the old paths. And what he's talking about here is, you know, I know the contemporary way of doing things is, that's nice. Ask for the old paths, you know, how did it used to get done when we were really walking with God and not just saying that we were? You know, with Israel at this time was just not in good shape. They said they were. They knew that they were, but they really weren't. And God's telling them, ask for the old paths, you know, when Israel really was and not just saying that they were. Look at, and you'll find rest for your souls. Look at Isaiah chapter 26. Similar sort of thing. Isaiah 26. Verse 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is strayed from thee. Oh, sorry. whose mind is stayed on thee. Because he does what?
Trust
in you. Like it said in Psalm 37, you know, trust in the Lord, commit your way unto the Lord, you know, rest in the Lord. His mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. If he didn't trust in you, or if a person does not trust in God, why would they, you know, stay their mind or focus their attention on God? I'm squeezing here because, okay, now I got my eye on you. Of course, now Rachel's hiding a little bit back there. All right, we'll get it figured out. But, you know, that will keep them in perfect peace. And in the Hebrew, a lot of times, if you study, you know, stuff, you'll find a lot of times there's English words where the translators will put two words there, but in the Hebrew, it's the same word repeated back to back. And this is one of those places. In the Hebrew, it reads, "Thou will keep him in peace, peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." You know, and that's to, I like that. I mean, it doesn't matter what a person likes or doesn't like, but
you know, just to say the same word twice. Thou will keep him in peace. Peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee. And it doesn't mean you're just thinking God, 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 God. You know, it's a mind stayed on the things, the information that God has given. We having spirit to remain attentive to the operation of the spirit, to be receptive to God. All that sort of stuff is involved in having one's mind stayed on God. And it says, he'll have peace, peace. Well, if you got peace, that's similar. It's involved in having rest. You can turn back to Psalm 37. We're going to pick up some different stuff here. Psalm 37. That thing with Isaiah 26:3, there's a terrific study. There's a book entitled Living Victoriously. In chapter, I think it's chapter 4 of that book. It's entitled Living Victoriously in God's Peace. And there is some outstanding insight in that chapter regarding benefits of having God's peace in one's life, you know, which you sort of correspond with resting in the Lord, trusting in the Lord, delighting yourself in God. We didn't read that. Yeah, we'll get to it. Psalm 37. We're going to start at the top again and read a little bit further. Verse 1, fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he'll bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't fret yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Interesting how many times that phrase fret not has already come up, right? In verse 1 it started with fret not. In verse 7 it says fret not thyself. Verse 8, fret not thyself. Almost seems to be a theme there. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, you shall diligently consider his place, and it just ain't there. Verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes upon him with his teeth. That gnashes upon him with his teeth. I've looked at this a lot of times over the years. You know, you hear different people say different things. Okay, that's nice. Like somebody taught once upon a time, oh, this person said this, and this person, I don't care what they, what's the worst? And just from working that phrase in the Bible, the best that I've been able to see is it's like harsh words. Could it be words spoken in anger? Sure. Could it be, you know, whatever. It should be obvious. It's not talking about they're literally biting their arms and stuff like that. It's just harsh words. The wicked plots against the just and speaks harsh words against him or speaks harsh words to him. Verse 13, the Lord is really troubled by this and loses a lot of sleep over it. Says, the Lord's going to laugh at him because he sees that his day is coming. Now, there's an interesting thing, a few interesting things here, but we saw in verse 2, it said, they shall soon be cut down like the grass, right? Verse 10 says, yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Well, these verses were not written yesterday, were they? has this happened yet? You know, they're no longer there. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it just ain't there. Well, if you got a question, turn to Galatians chapter 1. Just in case somebody was curious. Because God said they'll soon be cut off. You know, yet a little while, and yet here we are. I don't know when that psalm was written. You know, it was at least
2,000 years ago, right? Probably three, I don't know. Some of you smart people could probably figure it out. But it was thousands of years ago, and yet he uses the word soon and a little while. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the previous, this present evil. And the word world should have been translated age. Well, if it's still present, but Psalm 37 was written thousands of years ago, why did God say soon or yet a little while? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. I know that's a shock to some of us that, you know, there's evil still present today. I thought it was all gone personally, but then I read this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 says, redeeming the time, even though the days are no longer evil. No, it says redeeming the time because the days are, present tense, evil. So, a person could say, that really looks like a contradiction to me. How could he say in Psalm 37, they'll soon be cut off, and yet a little while, and here we are thousands of years later, it's still an evil age. The days are still evil. What's up with that? Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. A lot of stuff in the Bible, I think God probably has at least a little bit greater perspective on things than we do. And sometimes just taking a look at God's perspective can help us to understand some of God's words. You know, if you told a six-year-old, oh, mommy, when's my birthday? Well, it's coming soon. It could be a week from now, it could be 2 weeks from now, but compared to the age of that child, he's already lived 6 years. So 2 weeks is really not that long compared to 6 years, right? In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as what? One day. Now, is that from our perspective? No, it says one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years. If you study stuff, Adam, you know, Genesis 1:27, that occurred ballpark 4,000 BC. Here we are, 2025 AD, 6,000 years and just a little bit of change. If you read the last part of verse 8, 1,000 years is one day. If we're 6,000 years away from Genesis 1:27, it ain't even been a week yet. So, I mean, really, if it hasn't even been a week, even if it's a few more thousand years, it's a couple more days. So from the Lord's perspective, not ours necessarily, it's soon. It's just a little while. And it helps us to rest inside of our heart. You know, like in Matthew 6:13, part of the thing that people call the Lord's Prayer, part of it was deliver us from evil. Well, we already read in Galatians 1:4 and Ephesians 5:16, that hasn't yet happened. It's still an evil age. Still, the days are evil. But Psalm 37 says, hey, the Lord sees his day is coming. The Lord's going to laugh at him. You know, he's the big cheese now. I'm the master of the universe. All that stuff they say. I got my own private everything. The Lord's just laughing at him. What an idiot. You know, because he sees that his day is coming. Look at Isaiah chapter 11. This regarding some stuff that's coming up. All that, just having this information and believing it, knowing that it's, you know, if a person believes it, if they trust in the Lord, then they trust it. What God says is coming, it's coming. And that helps us to have rest in our heart, even though, yeah, we're exposed to stuff these days that we would rather not be exposed to. You know, yeah, there's the evildoer, but don't fret ourselves. because of the evildoer. They're going to be cut down and wither like the grass. It's going to happen soon. Just a little while, you'll be looking for more. I know he's around here somewhere. He just ain't there. Isaiah chapter 11. Where's Isaiah? It's around here somewhere. Isaiah chapter 11. Look at verse 6. Some of the stuff that's coming up. It says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, which is a baby goat, I guess. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion's going to eat straw like the ox. A lot of turmoil there, huh?
Yeah.
Just beautiful. Verse 8. And the nursing child shall play on the hole of the asp, which I guess is a really poisonous snake. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockroach's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I love that expression, as the waters cover the sea. Well, the sea is composed of water. To say as the waters cover the sea, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's what the sea is waters. Beautiful figure of speech, right? Where are we going to go here? Better look at this. Yeah, oh gosh. Yeah, Ezekiel chapter 34. This, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Ezekiel 34. You know, we read about the evil guys and the workers of iniquity and stuff like that in Psalm 37. Just keep that. And then, of course, we just read about how it's going to be. The wolf's going to lie down with the lamb, or however it said there. You know, it's going to be just totally cool. Ezekiel 34, look at verse 25. Says, and I will, future tense, make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. You know, typically, during this culture, you dwell safely in a city that has walls built around it, you know, fortified city. That's where you dwell safely. In the wilderness, you could have roving bands of bandits, or, you know, the cartel guys or whatever coming through. If you're in the wilderness, you know, it's a group of you in a village, you don't have a wall around you. So you're not really dwelling safely. You're hoping nobody comes to run you over, because if they do, it's not going to be a really tough chore for them to do that, because you're living in the wilderness. And it says, and they'll sleep in the woods. Who wants to sleep in the woods? You know, you got all these critters out there, the mountain lions and all the rest of it. You know, you sleep in a city that's got the fortified walls around it. But he says, and I will make with them a covenant of peace. Here's what's going to happen in the future. And I'm going to cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land. Now, we read in that thing in Isaiah 11, where the lion's going to lie down with the lamb, the wolf. So the lion's going to be there. The wolf's going to be there. Well, it doesn't mean that they're going to be evil beasts at that time. They will be beasts, but they're not going to be evil beasts. And there's something else about this phrase. Turn to Titus chapter 1. Somebody mentioned this to me a few years ago, and I looked at it a little bit, and it got pretty interesting. Titus chapter 1, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus. You know, when God said, I'll cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land. I always figured, okay, it's the wolves and the mountain lions and alligators or whatever. Titus chapter 1 says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars. What's the next term? Nobody's there. Evil beasts. The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts. And Ezekiel 34:25 said, I'll cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land.
So does it have to be lions and tigers and bears? Oh my. Not necessarily. A prophet of their own said, the Cretans. He's talking about people. And if you look at it closer, because the next verse says, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. He's talking about people that are born again. Are all these people from this place, this location, that are born again, they're always liars, they're always evil beasts, and they're always slow bellies or, you know, lazy gluttons. You know, they're very high quality believers. Not. So here he's talking about people being evil beasts. Backtrack to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Is the word beasts talking about critters sometimes in the Bible? Sure it is. Mm-hmm. You know, children of Israel, have you offered to me slain beasts and sacrifice in the wilderness 40 years? You know, he's not talking about slain people, he's talking about critters. You know, oxen or whatever. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32. Says, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead rise not? Let's throw a party. We're going to die tomorrow anyway. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. You know, what's the point? Just have a good time. You're going to croak anyway. Just live however you want to. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. Sometime, if you want to read the latter part of Acts chapter 19, you'll sort of get an idea of what beasts Paul was contending with at Ephesus. Keeping that in mind, look at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. This is, somebody mentioned this to me years ago and kind of put a bug in my ear. And this is the verse really that got me, you know, sort of looking at this from time to time. Mark chapter 1. Verse 12 says, and immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. This is after he got baptized by John the Baptist. Verse 13, and he, Jesus, was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the what?
Wild beasts.
Wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Yeah, you know, I used to always think, okay, the wild beasts are out there, the jaguars and the, you know, whatever's out there, wolves and lions and so forth. I don't know what wilderness he was in, truthfully. I don't know what wild critters live in that particular vicinity. But then somebody pointed out, well, of course the wild beast. You could go out to Allaire State Park. There's wild beasts out there. You could go to, you know, wherever you guys live in Pennsylvania. Just go to any woods anywhere. Of course there's wild beasts. That's where they live. So what's the big deal? He drove them into the wilderness, and the beings that lived there were there. Duh. Of course the wild beasts are going to be there. But if you factor in Ezekiel 34:25, Titus 1:12, or 1 Corinthians 15:32, wasn't necessarily, and truthfully, not primarily referring to lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Primarily referring to the same ones that are being referred to in Psalm 37. Human beings who live as wild beasts. You know, they're part of the whatever cartel. They're the, you know, the Hashishans? That's where the word assassin came from, right? You know, a group of assassins, the human traffickers, you know, wild beasts, politicians. You get the idea. You know, just wild beasts. And so when you bring that back into Ezekiel 34:25, there shall be no more the wild beasts. Boy, what a day that will be, right? When you read in Matthew 6:13, deliver us from evil. What a day that will be. Is that day present with us right now? No. Ephesians 5:16 said the days are present tense evil. Galatians 1:4 said this present evil age. But there's a day coming when you could look for evil if you wanted to, but you wouldn't be able to find it because it just ain't there. And knowing that that's coming, what a rest that can give us in our heart. And also, you know, when you think about that Romans 8, 31 and 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? If God has done this, is he not going to do this? You know, he gave you $1 billion in your investment account. You think he'd give you a postage stamp? You know, if he's done all of this to take care of us throughout all of eternity, but he's not going to watch over us in this life? You know, it's so far beyond, it just doesn't make any sense at all. And that can help us to have rest in the Lord because we trust in the Lord. We delight in the Lord. Like, I wanted to read that thing in Jeremiah. It says, I rejoice at thy words, or that's in Psalms, whatever it is. He said, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. We can be like that. Do things happen in this life? Yes, they do. It's great, some of the stuff. Turn to Psalm 56. Sometimes we get wrapped up in it. Oh, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Okay, you could read, not right. You can write it down if you want to. 1 Samuel 21:12. There's a place where David was sore afraid. It says that. Prior to that, I think it says he was afraid because of Saul. Doesn't mean that he did not get delivered. And the answer, Psalm 56, the answer to that really is here. It's a beautiful revelation, really. Psalm 56, verse 3 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. It doesn't say, I'm going to stop being afraid, and instead I'm going to trust in you. They're not necessarily mutually exclusive. You can read 1 Samuel 21:12 sometime and following. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like I'm a blade of grass and the lawnmower is heading my way? Or I'm tied down on the train tracks and it's steaming right down on me. Maybe you've been in a situation like that. I know I have. And when I'm in that situation, I am not at peace in my heart. I've been in situations where my prayer, literally, this was my entire prayer, God help. That was my prayer. And things changed. And it worked out just amazingly beautiful. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. Like a little kid, you know, the side of the swimming pool, whatever the age they are. Here's mommy or daddy. You know, jump, Charlie, jump. I'm afraid. Just jump. I'll catch you. Just jump. And then at some point, that child jumps. It's afraid, but it trusts you more than it's afraid of the consequences. Like, okay. And so it jumps, and you catch it. You know, it's the same with us with God. Not that I'm afraid, so now there's nothing good that's going to happen. Well, we wouldn't do that with our kids, but God would do that with his. It's stupid. No, of course he wouldn't. You know, so all of these things, knowing that this is what God has provided for us throughout all of eternity, really can help us to have rest in our hearts today, knowing that if he's done this for us, he's certainly going to do this, and also knowing that this is coming. So even when we are in the stew pot, and it's not good, and you can read the book of Jeremiah, he was in situations that none of us would want to be in. Not just Jeremiah, others also. But even when he was in those situations, he knew, okay, yet a little while, you know, this stuff is soon going to be over. You know, we got X number of years to live down here. It's not going to be indefinite for any of us. You know, none of us are going to retain this life for an indefinite period of time. However, there's a time coming, and that time is not going to ever stop. And that can help us to have rest. And again, that chapter, Living Victoriously in God's Peace, really contributes a lot more information regarding benefit that a person can have by having just that rest in their heart
You know, like Psalm 62:5, my soul, rest thou only upon God. And the benefits that we can have in our life as we do that.